Okay, we left off this morning at the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, the first Mishnah and Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, smack in the middle of the page. Says the Mishnah, Beishamai Omer Poter Adam Ishto Beget Yashan. Beishamai says that you can take an old get that was written a while ago and still use it, even though obviously it was dated much earlier. Ubeisil says that it's not permitted. One that may not use a get that was written earlier to divorce his wife. Ve'ezehu get yashan. What's the definition of a get yashan? Is it just a get that's muktam, that's outdated? So says the Mishnah, no. It means kol shenis yachidima me'achar shekosvela. Get yashan is defined as any get that after it was written, the husband went and had yichud with the wife. So that's the machlokas Beisham Beisil. Beisil says one may not use such a get to divorce his wife. Beisham says one may use such a get to divorce his wife. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Maikomifli, what's the subject of the dispute over here? What are they arguing about? Why would Beisham think it's not problematic and Beisil think it is problematic just because he had yichud with his wife after the get had been written? So Beisham Savri lo aminun gzeira shem yamru gita kodem lebna. Beisham apparently holds that we're not concerned that someone's going to think that the get came before any child that might have come from this marriage. Meaning, according as it says, Rashi explains, what's the concern of Gita Kodem Lubna? Shemi Yishas Haget Shnatayim V'Shalosh Ben Ksivu L'Nasina, that we're worried a guy's going to hang on to a get for two or three years between writing it and giving it. V'yu L'Banim Mimenu, when they're going to have children, because they're going to remain married during that time and they're going to have children, B'Toch Hazman, V'Achar Kach Yigrushenabo, and then later on, years later, he's going to go and use that get to divorce her. Uliyamim kisheishtaka chadavar, and then at some time later they're going to look at the get. Yeruzmana get kodem leidas haben, and people are going to say, wait a second, it says in this get that the get was written in the year lamashal tavshin samachay. The son was born in the year tavshin samaches. So you svurin shenita lamishas ksiva. Everyone's going to naturally assume that the get was given immediately after it was written. And people are going to say that she was born from that the child was born from a single woman, that the woman was already single at that time, that she had already divorced her husband, and that's considered a pagam. For a child to be born out of wedlock, for a child to be born from a single mother, is a pagam in the child. So we don't want to cause such a pagam in the child. That's the concern that people are going to say. Gita Kodem Lebna. So Beishamai says, I'm not concerned about that. I'm not worried that people are going to say Gita Kodem Lebna just because the guy wrote a get, was alone with his wife, and then gave the get to his wife afterwards. I'm not worried that people are going to think that a child was born out of wedlock. Beisil Savri, Beisil says, I am concerned. I'm reading Gzeirish Amiyomru Gita Kodem Lebna. I certainly am worried that people are going to say that. That people are going to think that the child has come was conceived after the get was already given, and that would be a terrible pagam for the child. The Rama adds that not only would there be concern of a Vlad Pagum because he was born out of wedlock, there's also concern that if he's a Kohen, if the father was a Kohen, they're going to say that the Vlad is a Chalal because the Vlad was born from a Grusha. Once she's divorced, so if the husband, who was a Kohen, sleeps with her again and they have a child, they conceive a child from that union, so she's already a Grusha, and any child that they're going to have is going to be a Chalal. So that's also a legitimate concern that you might have. So Beisham and Beisil disagree whether or not we should be concerned for such things. Whether we're going to be concerned that people are going to think or going to mistakenly think that there was a child that was born after the get was already given. So Tosfos of here points out in the name of the Yerushalmi, very important Ha'ara, in Dibra Maskel Beishamai Savri, Lo Amrin Gzera Shem Yom Gita Kodem Lebna, says Tosfos, Yerushalmi Mefarish Ta'azli L'Tamayu, that this Machlokas Beisham Beisil is actually Machlokas L'Shitasam. The Beishamai Yislu Perka Megarish, Beishamai is the one that holds at the very end of this Masechta, in the daf we're going to do on Yom Kippur, Lo Yigarish Adam Mesishto Elim Kein Matzah Bat Devar Erva, that the only excuse a person has, the only valid reason a person can have to divorce his wife is if he finds that there's a Devar Erva, he finds that she cheated on him. Hilkoch Mezuhemes Hibe Einav Ve'Einobo Aleha. So if that's the reason a husband is divorcing his wife, because he thinks that she cheated on him, so he's going to be so disgusted with her, we don't really have to be concerned that he's going to be boiled her. No husband would ever want to sleep with his wife after she's already cheated on him, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned for anymore. That's why we don't have to worry about people saying Gita Kodum Lubra. Everyone's going to realize that if he had divorced her, it must be because there was a Dvar Erva. She had committed the unthinkable, the unspeakable, and therefore there's no way that he would have slept with her again afterwards and conceived a child. But Beis Hillel holds that there are more reasons that one might divorce his wife than just Matzah B'Dvar Erva. Beis Hillel islahu afilu k'tichasu tafshilo yachol garsha. Beis Hillel holds even if she just burns his food, he's able to divorce her. Ve'ina mezuhemes be'enav. And she's not considered to be mezuhemes. She's not considered to be disgusting in his eyes. V'yomru, and people are going to say kiva aleha, that he did in fact sleep with her, because all she did was burn his food. That certainly doesn't make her disgusting to him, and certainly is not something that will discourage him necessarily from sleeping with her in the future when his yetzer hara gets the best of him. And we have a similar machlokas later on. So basically, the Yerushalmi says that this machlokas Peshame Beis Hillel is totally in the machlokas Peshame Beis Hillel later in the Masechta about what is a valid reason for a person to divorce his wife. Now the Meiri has a very sharp ha'ara. The Meiri quotes in the name of a Yesh Omrim that according to Beis Hillel, what's the only reason that we have a concern that a person might say Gita Kodem Lubna? It's because the husband is not in fact disgusted with the wife, because he didn't find an Ervas Davar, he's divorcing her for some other reason, and that's why we're not going to allow a Get Yashon, because people will start to talk and people are going to say that Gita Kodem Lubna. Says the Meiri, what if Hitaka did divorce her because Matzuba Ervas Davar? What if that was the problem? Problem was, he found that she cheated on him. So in that case, even Beis Hillel would be moda that l'chora, that you are allowed to use a get yashan. Because what are you worried about? That people are going to say Gita Kodem Lubna? Everyone's going to realize that it's not Gita Kodem Lubna. Everyone's going to realize in that case that she's in fact disgusting to him. So that's what the Meiri quotes in the name of the Yesh Omrim. And the Meiri himself is chalek on that. He disagrees, and he thinks that Beis Hillel, in any case, regardless of why a husband is divorcing his wife, in any case, it's always going to be a concern, Shema Yomru Gita Kodem Lubna, even if the reason that he's divorcing her is because Matzah Ba Ervas Davar. Now, the Tos Yantav explains that the reason we're not Mechalik that way, the reason why we don't Paskin like that Yesh Omrim, is it's a Gezerah that people might think that he was Megarish her because she was Makdiach Tavshilo, because she burnt his food. People won't realize that the reason he divorced her was because Matzah Ba Ervas Davar, and that will again give birth to these rumors of Gita Kodem Lubna and cause all of the problems of the Vlad Pogrom that we're trying to avoid. So that's why we don't paskin like that Yesh Omrim, that sharp Yesh Omrim that the Meiri quotes. Now this very concept that a husband would never sleep with his wife if she has cheated on him because she is so disgusting to him, he wouldn't go near her, it seems to be contradicted by Gemara and Sota Dav Zayin, Mishnah really. But the Mishnah and Sota says that we give him that when a woman is suspected of being a Sota, they have two Talmidei Chachamim that escort them on their way to Yerushalayim when she's going to go drink the Mei Sota. And the reason Talmidei Chachamim escort them is so that Talmidei Chachamim can make sure that they can give Asra'a, they can tell the husband, look, you better not sleep with her now, because right now, if you sleep with her, you're going to ruin the entire procedure. The whole process of Mei Sota is not going to work if you sleep with her at this point in time. So doesn't that imply that there is a real concern that even though she had cheated on him, that he's going to sleep with her? So Pashto says it's not really a kasha, because in the case in Sota, he doesn't know for sure that she's cheated on him. He suspects that she's cheated on him. So it could be that since it's only a suspicion, and he doesn't know it for sure, so it could be in that case, there's much more likelihood that his Yetzer Hara would get the best of him and he would sleep with her and he would not find himself disgusted with her. It's only in a case where he knows for sure that she cheated on him that he's going to be disgusted with her and he's not going to want to sleep with her. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Im Nisei Slo Tietzei. Even though we paskin, you're not supposed to use a Get Yashon, because obviously we paskin like Beis Hillel, if she does get remarried based on the get yashan, he does not. She does not have to get divorced. V'ikadamri, others say, Amar Rav Shmuel Niskarsha Tinasi L'Chadchila. Not only if she gets remarried does she not have to get divorced, but if the husband divorced her with a get yashan, she at this point going forward, it's already considered a bidieved, and we don't have to make the husband give a second get. We don't have to leave the woman as naguna if she can't receive a second get. She's allowed to go and get remarried lichatchila, even though all she's received was a get yashan. Now Rashi over here says the case is that halach bailil l'medina sayam. Why is she allowed to get remarried? Why don't we just ask the husband to give a second get? Isn't that that then we better safe than sorry? Isn't that the easiest way to play it safe? Just ask the husband to give her a second get, especially since we passed him lechatchila that a get yashan doesn't work. So Rashi says no, because the husband has already left town, so the husband's not available to give a second get, and therefore she has no other choice. She has no other option, no other way to receive a get, and that's a case where it's really b'di'evet, and we're going to therefore allow her to get remarried on the koach of the get yashan. That's how Rashi clearly holds. The Nosei Kelim in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel in Eben Ezer Kuf Mem Ches of Kotten Gimel, is medayik from the Rambam that the Rambam does not make any such distinction. That the Rambam holds, even if the husband is still around, we don't even trouble the husband to write another get, even though he's right here and he's capable of writing another get. Once she's received the get yashan, we say that she's megureshes. End of story. There's no need to begin to write another get. Okay, the next Mishnah is going to discuss cases where a get was done improperly. Now, it's going to have numerous cases where a get was done improperly for a variety of issues. We're going to start with the issue of the dating of a get. Apparently, the way a get used to be dated was they did not date it from Bria Sa'olam. They would never write in the get the date from the creation of the world. Rather, they would write the date in the get based on how many years the melech of the country that they were living in has been ruling. So, says the Mishnah, Kasav l'shem malchus sheino genes. What if they write the date based on a malchus that's an inappropriate malchus? The Gemara will discuss what exactly an inappropriate malchus means. What exactly a malchus is going to be the Gemara's first question. What is a malchus she'ina hogenes? And the Gemara will discuss that. Or let's say l'shem malchus madei l'shem malchus yavan. Let's say he writes a get about ancient dynasties, malchus madei, the malchus of Yavan, which was no longer in power during the times of the Talmud Bavli. Lebinyan abayis l'chorban abayis. Or let's say he writes a get counting to the years that the Beis Hamikdash was first built, or counting the years from when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Or Hayyab Ramban points out that the reason we dafka choose these dates of Binyan Abayis and Korban Abayis is because that is it's almost a provocative date to choose. It's it's going to cause problems with Shalom Malchus, because it's as if we are showing off our own chashivus and our own national pride as we're living in someone else's country and we're living under someone else's rule, and that's going to be viewed as an insult to the current rulership. And the Ramban says that's why if you write the Bria Sa'olam, it's certainly not a problem. Meaning it's not that there's a requirement to dafka write from the contemporary Malchus, whichever Malchus you're living in. It's that you can't write something that's insulting to the Malchus. That's the problem. And when you write about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, you're writing about your views of Geula and hopes and aspirations for Klal Yisrael getting out of whatever Gullus we're in and going back and having a Geula, so that's going to be seen as a slap in the face. The messianic hopes are going to be seen as a slap in the face to the current Malchus. So for that, that we try to stay away from. Reminds me a little bit of the Gemara Megillah, where the Gemara says that Esther sent a message to the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. She said, "Kavuni l'doros, I want you to establish me as to establish my book as part of Nach." And they sent back to her that we can't because it's kinnah or Rav Spena Goyim, something like that. I forgot the exact lashon. They said that you're going to cause kinnah between the Goyim, meaning we don't have Geula yet. We're still in Galus. And if we write down this story, what are we doing? We're trumping our own pride, our own national pride. It's not a good idea to go around showing off about our own national pride when we're still living under the rule of somebody else. So that's why they didn't want to do it. So here as well, to write in the years based on the Binyan HaBayis, the Churban HaBayis, Ramban says that's considered a slap in the face to the Malchus that we're living under. Hayu b'Mizrach v'Kasav b'Marav, b'Marav v'Kasav b'Mizrach. Or if he's in the west, the east, and he writes that the get was in the west, or vice versa, the Gemara will discuss who he is, meaning who's in the wrong place. In all these cases, though, these problems with the get are significant enough that teitzei mizeh u'mizeh, that the woman is going to have to get divorced from both husbands, meaning if the woman was married to Reuven, and Reuven wrote a get that had one of these problems in it to this woman, the woman thought she was divorced, went and married Shimon, so, and then they discovered these problems with the get, she's going to have to divorce both Reuven and Shimon. Rashi points out the kiddushin with Shimon was really not a kiddushin at all, because really the get was pasul the whole time. She was really still married to Reuven. Nevertheless, we're going to still require that she receive a get from Shimon, even though the marriage with Shimon was a totally invalid marriage because she was still married to Reuven the whole time. Still, we're going to require that she receive a get from Shimon, because people are going to think that Reuven's get was a good get, and people are going to think that Shimon's marriage to her was a valid marriage, and people are going to think that you can get rid of a wife without a get, because look, Shimon gets rid of her without the benefit of a get. Now, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that I know this is the case because the Gemara in Yevamos says the same thing. The Gemara in Yevamos has a very similar idea in the following case. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about a case where a woman's husband goes to Medinas Yam, so he's far away, and we don't hear from him, and then one witness comes back and tells us that the husband is dead. So mikach neidechad, a woman is allowed to get remarried, even though generally we require two edim for any edus in the Torah. In this situation, we allow an neidechad to be made and to allow the woman to get remarried based on the testimony of an neidechad. But with that heter comes a certain chumrah, and that is that if the husband does in fact come home at the end, if the husband does show up, teitzei mizeh u'mizeh, all these halachos we're going to say now, that she has to divorce both husbands. If she got remarried based on that eid echad, she's going to have to divorce her new husband, her old husband, and that's where the Gemara explains this idea. Obviously, the marriage to the second husband was a totally invalid marriage, because the first husband never died. She never got a get from him, and he never died. The first husband was still her husband. Still, though, the Gemara explains, we require a get from the second husband. So Rashi says it's the same story over here. Tosfos says it's not the same story at all. Over there, obviously she was still married to the first husband. There was nothing to sever the marriage. The husband was alive. He wasn't dead. And there was never any get written by that husband. So of course she's still married to the first husband. That's why the Gemara has to explain why you need a get from the second husband over there. It says Tosfos over here, that's not the case at all. Over here, the first husband did write her a get. Not only did he write her a get, he wrote her a get that on a d'oraisa level is a perfectly kosher get. It's only a din d'rabbanan that we don't accept this get. So in our case, where it's only a din d'rabbanan that you don't accept this get, of course Shimon, the second husband, is going to have to write her a get. His marriage on a d'oraisa level is a valid marriage to her. So there, that's why he's going to have to write a get. So Tosfos strongly disagrees with Rashi on this point. Anyway, but in this situation where the woman's going to have to divorce both husbands, Utsricha get mizeh u'mizeh, she needs a get from both of them. Ve'in la lo ksuba v'lo peros, she does not receive a ksuba. She does not receive any peros, it doesn't mean actual peros, it means the din of peros, meaning the halacha is that the chacham were mesakein, that a woman, if she's held captive, the husband has to pay the ransom money in exchange for the peros that the husband receives from her fields. So, meaning she doesn't have the din of either of these husbands having the obligation to ransom her. Velo mezonos, nor does she receive mezonos. Now, the Rashba points out, obviously she doesn't receive mezonos. If she tries to stay married to one of these guys, she's living in sin with him. It's us for her to stay married to him. So of course she's not going to receive mezonos from him while she's living in sin with him. So the Rashba says, no, the chiddush over here is, even if she borrowed money in order to be able to eat, in order to be able to feed herself, neither of the husbands has to pay back that loan on her behalf. That's where they in the mizonos. Of course, if she's living with him, the husband has no requirement to pay her mizonos. We want them to get divorced. But even if she had previously borrowed money to pay for her mizonos, before they realized that there was a problem, the husband does not have to go and pay it back. Velo blaos, nor does she receive the blaos, the worn-out clothing from the begadim that she brought in with her to the marriage. Lo al zeh velo al zeh, she doesn't have any tainus for those clothing on either of the husbands. Im natlo mizah mizah taksir, if she took any of these things from either of the husbands, she has to return it. Vavlad mamzer mizah mizah, if she has any children with either of these men from this point forward, the children are going to be considered mamzerim. Rashi says, meaning obviously if she had a child with the first husband before any of this happened, that child is not a mamzer. But if the first husband now takes her back and has a child with her, it is going to be a mamzer midrabanan. Right? But on a darais level, it's not going to be a mamzer because it's kasher min haTorah, the get was kasher min haTorah, but at least midrabanan, the child is going to be considered a mamzer. V'lo zevezeh metamin la. And neither of the husbands are allowed to be metame to her, Rashi points out, if they are kohanim, right? Meaning normally a kohen is allowed to be metame to his wife, but neither of these guys are considered the husband in the sense that they'd be able to be metame to her. Frekt all the achronim over here, the marsha, the marshal. What do you mean if they're both kohanim? How's it possible that they're both kohanim? If they're both kohanim, the second guy would never have been able to marry her in the first place, because after all, she's a grusha. The first one had divorced her, so she's a grusha now. The second one would never be able to marry her. So how could it be that they're both kohanim? So the Marshal explains that you have to say that the second guy is a nazir and not a kohen, and that's the chiddush over here. That he's not allowed to be metame to her, even though she's his wife, because we don't really count her as his wife. And it's talking about someone who's usher to be metame to people like a nazir. The only problem with that is that a nazir is not allowed to be metame to his relatives either. He's not allowed to be metame to his wife either. So it doesn't really solve anything by saying that he's a nazir. There's no chiddush in saying a nazir is not allowed to be metame to her. Even if she was his full-fledged wife, he weren't allowed to be metame to her. So the Maram Shiv is metarets that it must be that they're both kohanim, and the second guy must have not known that she was divorced. He didn't know that she was a grusha. She never told him. And the second guy married her under false pretenses. He didn't realize that she was divorced. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. V'lo zevezeh zakayin lo b'metziyasa v'lo b'masi yadeha. Neither of the husbands is allowed to collect her metziyah, is allowed to take anything that she might find, nor anything she might produce. V'lo ba'afaras nedareha, nor can any of them do afaras nedarim for her. Ha'isa bas Yisrael, if she was a bas Yisrael, nifsalas mina kuhuna, she becomes pasul from kuhuna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen anymore because she's considered a zona, right? So she's considered a zona because a stam zona means an eshes ish, that's mezana tachas baila, that's mezana while married to her husband, and that's exactly this case. This woman is considered a zona. In fact, the Marsha points out, we said before, Tosel says that she requires a get from the second husband, not because the reason the Gemara in Yavama said, even though she's not really married to him at all, it's only that people might think she was. No, Tosel says on a Doraisa level, the marriage to the second husband was in fact a valid marriage. So Tosel says, wait a second, if that's the case, why would you have to say, the Marsha rather says, if that's the case, why would the Mishnah have to say that she's pasul l'kuhuna because of a zona, because midin zona, she's a grusha on a daraisa level. Meaning midaraisa, she should be pasul l'kuhuna anyway, because she's a grusha. If the original get was a valid get, and she's really a grusha, and like Tosos is saying, and that's why when Shimon marries her, when the second husband marries her, he really is married to her, because her get from Reuven was a real get. She's pasul l'kuhuna anyway, because she's really a grusha. Right, that's Marsha's Bam Kasha on Shita Satosos in Sricha Get, Mizau Mizah. Okay, anyway, the Mishnah continues, and she's a Bas Levi min a Meiser. She's a Bas Levi, she's not allowed to have Meiser. That's a Kanas. And Bas Kohen min a Truma. If she's a Bas Kohen, she's not allowed to have Truma. Ve'in Yarshin Shalzev, Yarshin Ksubasa. And neither of the Yarshim are allowed to receive her Ksuba. So Rashi says, what are you talking about, a Ksuba? We just said she doesn't get a Ksuba. So no, we're not talking about a real Ksuba, we're talking about the Ksuba's been in Dikrin. The Takanas Chachamim, that her children that she has from him, a deal that they have, that her children are going to receive more than an extra portion, more than the other brothers, the other children he might have from other wives. Meaning, let's say a woman is very wealthy, and her father doesn't want that his daughter is going to go into a marriage with a lot of money and marry some guy who's married to five other women and has all these other children. And what's going to happen when that guy dies? All of that money that his daughter brought into the marriage is going to be split amongst all these other children that have no shaychus to him, that have no shaychus to this grandfather's family. So they made this takana called ksubas ben indichrin, that the money that she brings into the marriage is going to be set aside, it's going to be earmarked for the children that he has, that she has from him, and that he has from her, and is not going to be split with the other children. So the ksubas bin indichrin doesn't apply over here either. And if they die, if either of these guys die, you must do chalitza on the chashash that they are married, but you cannot do yibum on the chashash that they are not married. So that's one case where they wrote a get, and the problem in the get was the dating of the get in terms of which malchus they wrote it in. And we went through the whole parsha, the whole megillah of what they have to do, how they have to be machmir on both ends of it. Next case, shina shmo ushma shemi ro v'shemi ra, teitzi mizem mizev kol adrach me'eluba. If they changed in the get his name, her name, the name of his city, the name of her city, they get divorced, and kol adrach me'eluba, and everything we just said applies. All the halachos, all the chumras we just listed are going to apply to that problem with the get as well. What does it mean, shmo ushma, that they changed their names? So it says, tells us, lo shina mamish, doesn't literally mean that they changed the names. It just means that it has two names, the city has two names, and they use a different name. They use one of the names that they weren't supposed to use, because it's called two different names in two different places, and you called it by the name that the city is known in another place, not the name the city is known by in the place where you are right now. Tosus writes, Shemi Ro b'Shemi Ra, Omer b'Yitzchak Tamidavka Ir Shedarin Ba. What does it mean, the city? What city are we talking about? The city they were born in? The city it's being written in? The city they live in? What are we talking about? So, says Tosos, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Tamidavka Ir Shedarin Ba. It's the city that they live in. Aval Ir Shenolad Ba. If they mess up his city of origin, the city that he was born in, afilu shina kasher, even if they get it wrong in the get, it's going to be kasher. Kivin shein sarach lekos v'klal, because that tells us you don't even have to write that in the get. It's not necessary to write where the guy was born. Shakad monim shugil lekoso mishum shemira sheish by Yosef and Shimon acher yiabos simin ali de makom leida. Why did they ever include that in the get in the first place? The only reason they ever put that in the get in the first place was because they started the minhag of putting the city that a person was born in the get, just in case you have two guys in a city that have the same name. So sometimes they could be differentiated by the city that they came from. It's like in the yeshivas in Europe, when they had people by the same name, they would call them by the city from which they came, because there weren't that many people from the same village that would come to the big yeshiva, wherever it was, to the Mir, Panovich, whatever the big yeshiva was, to Volozhin. So they would call them by the name of the city that they had originated from. So that's why they started putting it in again, but it's not really required. So if you get that wrong, that's okay. And Tosfos says, I'll prove it to you. V'teida, ki kam pam kosu makom alei dal piya ba lo isha, v'mashina pasu lo hayin achol kosu al piyedim. How do we know where they were born? You know how we know? We ask them. We say, what's the name of the city you came from? And the guy tells us, and we put that in the get. If it was really critical to the get, it shouldn't be enough to ask them. We should need some stronger raya as to where they're from than just asking them where they're from. So obviously it's not that critical. A little bit of Vayter Tosa says, this idea that if you get something wrong that's not critical to the shtar itself, that it's not going to ruin the shtar, Rabbi Natan proves that it's true, proves that you're not going to passel a shtar because an insignificant factor in the shtar was incorrect. How do I know this? Mida Amr Perak based the Ksubas, from the fact that it says in the second Perak Ksubas, De'in Malam Mishtaros Liuchsin. If I have a shtar that says, Ruvain HaKohen lent Shimon HaLevi money, I don't assume automatically that Ruvain is a Kohen. We assume that when Adam signed on the bottom of that shtar, they're not being made that the guy is a Kohen. All they're being made is that there was a loan of $100 in the shtar, but they're not being made about the actual value of the money, about the actual value of the money in the shtar. So svaruhu de edim lo kaimi el alikar maisa, that they're not going on the edim, they're going on the only the maisa that's said in the shtar. Umaisa be'echad sheshina beget makom leidaso v'chshirori, and in fact it happened once, a get was written, they changed the makom of leida, they changed the place where the guy was born, they got it incorrect in the get, and the reset was perfectly kosher anyway. Right in the Mishnah, kol arayu sh'amru tzarosein mutaros, holchu atzaros se'elu v'nisu v'nimtsu elu islandis. What if you have the following case? There's a whole list at the very beginning of Maseches Yevamos. If a man is married to multiple women and the man dies, so normally you have a din of yibum. His brother has to marry one of the man's wives. However, if one of those wives is related to the brother in a way that the brother is not allowed to marry them, like for instance, let's say Reuven has many wives. Amongst Reuven's wives is one of Reuven's wives is Shimon's daughter. So when Reuven dies, Shimon doesn't have to do yibum on any of the women or chalitza with any of the women, because since his daughter is in the group, it paters everyone from yibum. Right? So let's say the other wives now go and get married to other people because they figure they're pater from yibum. But then it turns out Shimon's daughter was an islandess the entire time. Now since she was an islandess, her marriage to Reuven was invalid, and it's really as if Reuven was only married to the other wives and not to her. So now it turns out that there actually is a chiyuv of yibum. So the halach is teitzei mizeh mizeh v'kol adracha me'elupa, that they have to, all the chumras we just said, she has to divorce the new husband that she remarried, she has to, she can't go back to she can't marry Shimon, the whole thing is, they have all the chumras that we just applied. Similarly, hakones is yivimto, let's say a guy does yibum, and so Reuven was married to three women. None of them are related to Shimon. Reuven's married to three women. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. And then comes along, make it four. Might as well include all the imams. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And then Reuven goes and dies. So now Shimon marries Sarah. So Rivka, Rachel, and Leah figured, okay, they're good to go. They can go and marry whoever they want. It's a halchat sarasa v'nisis lachar. And they go and they marry whoever they want. And then it turns out that Sarah, who Shimon performed yibum on, turned out to be an islandess, so her whole marriage was invalid in the first place. So it turns out that really Rivka, Rachel, and Leah had a requirement of yibum over here. So they have to get divorced again. All of these chumras, they're possible from their new husbands. They're not allowed to do yibum with Shimon. All of the chumras that we said. Chasav sofer get liish v'shover liisha. What if you have a sofer who does a major mix-up? He writes a get for a man and a shover for a woman, which he's supposed to do, right? You're supposed to give the get for the man to give to the wife, the shover, the receipt for the wife to give to the man. But v'tav v'nasan get liisha v'shover liish. When the man came to pick up his get, he accidentally gave the man the shover. The woman came to pick up her shover, he accidentally gave her the get. V'nasan zelazeh. They exchanged documents, not realizing that they exchanged the wrong documents. Then they realize sometime later that they received the wrong documents, that the man now has the get in his hand, obviously realizing he never gave a get to his wife. His wife had given him a get. That doesn't work. The woman has a shover in his hand, realizing that what she received from her husband was nothing but a shover, wasn't a get. All the chumras that we said before, if she had gotten remarried, al kalach, that imaginary get, that shover that she thought was a get, so all the chumras, she has to divorce both husbands, and she needs a valid get from both husbands, all the chumras. Rav Lazar Omer, in Lialta Yatza, ain't a get. Rav Lazar says it depends. If it immediately came to light that this is what happened, so then ain't a chinami, it's not a good get. But in la'achar zman yatza hareza get. If this only came to light later on, then it is a valid get. Lo kelamenem narishal nabi zechusa shalsheni. You can't have 10 years down the line the guy says, "Oh, I just realized this piece of paper I have in my hand is really a get. It's not a shover." Then we get suspicious. Then we start to think, "Nah, you know what happened over here? The woman called him up one day after 8 years of being married to somebody else, and the woman said, you know, I really thought our marriage was much better. I want to come back to you. And the husband says, I want to take you back. But what am I supposed to do? I can't be machzor grushaso after you remarried someone else. So she says, you know what? I still have the get that you gave me. Let's switch them up. Let's switch the get for the shofar, and we'll pretend that the get never happened, that it was a big mix-up, and that we were never really divorced. So because we're concerned for such things, so we if it comes out lachazman, we're worried that there was some funny business going on here, and we don't allow this to work out. Now, how does such a mix-up ever happen? The Gemara earlier in Daf Yotes said that when they're Eidim Mesira by a get, the Eidim Mesira need to read the get. So how does such a mix-up ever happen? If the Eidim Mesira read it, shouldn't they realize that it was the shofar, that it wasn't a get? So the Rashba asked that kasha, and the Rashba says, you have to say, you have to make eichetims, you have to say that the case was, the Eidim Mesira read the get, they then handed it back to the sofer, put it in his pocket, pulled out the piece of paper or a piece of paper from his pocket, and it could be he accidentally pulled out the shofar from his pocket instead of pulling out the get from his pocket. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, my malchus sheino hogenes. What does it mean when the Mishnah says a malchus that's eino hogenes? So says the Gemara, malchus haromiyim. It means the Romans. Why are they a malchus sheino hogenes? They're called a malchus sheino hogenes because they don't have any writing or language. So what does that mean? They didn't know how to communicate? They were all a bunch of illiterates? What does it mean they don't have any language? So Rashi says, Lo ksav lo lashon. Where's the Rashi? Rashi says over here, Ela mishal uma acheres, meaning they don't have their own language. They took someone else's language. The Chasam Sofer writes that every uma, every nation, has a language that matches either its sar up in Shemayim, matches its that nation's unique nature. But he says the Romans use Latin, which matched neither for them. It was just stam, some language shehimtzi lashem kiritzono kechefso, that a guy made up based on his own desire. I don't know the history of it. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. So that's why they're called the Malchus Sheino Hogenes. Amar Ulam, Mematik Malchus Begit. Why do we have to write foreign kings in a get anyway? So Mishum Shalom Malchus. We do it in order to keep the peace with the Malchus. Right? That's the whole reason. The Tosus of here points out in Tomer Vamrin Perakamim Saksavod Zara Begola in Monin El Malchus Yavin Bulvad Amalochesh in Shalom Malchus. That in Gola we count to Malchus Yavin. Apparently we're not so worried about Shalom Malchus. So it says Tosus Zomri Didafka Begitin Yeshlach Shalom Malchus. It's only in really important documents like a get that we really have to worry about the Shalom Malchus. Meaning, what's the problem with the Shalom Malchus? If we do something really important and on a very important document we refer to something else other than the current malchus, that might be conceived as an insult. But if we that might be received as an insult. But if it's something that's an unimportant document, so the malchus is not going to be insulted. You want to write a note to your friend or whatever, he doesn't care if you write his name on it or not. But a get, which is a very important document, that's where we have to be extra makbid. So, fact the Gemara, Mishum Shalom Malchus Teitzei Vavlad Mamzer. So, we made this takana to write the Malchus in the get because of Shalom Malchus. So, because of that, if get was written without it, we're going to say the child's going to be a Mamzer. We're going to make Mamzerim be Yisrael because someone insulted the king. So, says Gemara, yeah, in Rameh Tameh, Dam Ravanun, Mishmedul, Omarai Rameh, Kol Mashan, Mabesh, Tavacham Begitin, Havlad Mamzer. If one changes the way the Chacham instituted a get is supposed to be written, a child is going to be a Mamzer. L'shem Malchus Yavan. So we said that they write the get L'shem Malchus Yavan, right? So that's also going to be problematic. So why does it have to tell me each case of what's going to be problematic? Malchus Yavan, Malchus Madai, Churban Abayis, Bidin Abayis. Why do we need all these cases? Just say if you don't write in the name of the Malchus. So says the Gemara Tzricha. Diash min Malchus Shein Ogenes Mishum Demalicha. I might think that Malchus Shein Ogenes is perceived as a slap in the face to the current Malchus, because the Malchus Shein Ogenes is actually a Malchus that is currently in power. Aval Malchus Madai, Malchus Yavan, Maidahava, but ancient Malchios, that's old stuff already. That's not going to insult anybody. That's what I would have thought. V'yashmina Malchus Madai, Malchus Yavan, Mishum de Malchus Havu. And had I only been told about Malchus Yavan and Malchus Madai, I would say, yeah, at least those are Malchios, so that's perceived as a slap in the face. Aval Binyan Abayis, Maidahava, but the building of the Beis HaMikdash, old news, what do we care about that for? V'yashmina and Binyan Abayis, and had it told me the case of Binyan Abayis, the Amri Kamat Gri Shavchayu, I would say, okay, maybe that's a slap in the face because we're praising ourselves, we're showing our national pride that we built the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Churban HaBayis Ditzaravu. But Churban HaBayis, which is just our way of expressing our anguish, Emelo, I might think that's not considered to be such a slap in the face to the current Melech. So Tzricha, that's why I need each of these cases to be mentioned in the Mishnah. Again, this seems to highlight the point that it's not that there's a necessarily a requirement to write the Malchus in the Get, it's that you can't write anything, any dating system, that's going to be perceived as a slap in the face to the Malchus. That comes up, obviously, in the Halacha, we're going to discuss in the Rishonim and Amud Beis, when it comes to using the dating Mibriyas HaOlam, where if it's not perceived as a slap in the face, maybe that's okay. So the Mishnah mentioned if the guy is in the east and he wrote it in the west. So man, who's in the wrong place? If it's the husband in the wrong place, that's the same case as messing up the name of the city. Elalav Sofer. Must be the case is the Sofer is in the wrong place. Like Rav said to his Sofer, Rav Huna said to his Sofer, when you're sitting in Shili, make sure you write in the get that it's in Shili, even though the actual get is going to take place in the town of Hini. What are these towns, Shili and Hini? Why do we give these examples? So Tosa says, they were very close to each other, and he has a raya from Gemara Masechta Beitza. They were able to carry somebody from one town to the other, so they're obviously extremely close to each other. Ulurabusa nektinu hani, and the reason why the Gemara uses these as an example is an extra chiddush. The afal pisha in doma kol kach l'shikra, even though these are not, it doesn't look like so much of a sheker because they're neighboring towns, they're like twin cities. Kiven sheyachal lavam izel l'zeh biyomechad, since you can go from one to the other in one day, still yesh la'achmir, still we should be machmir to dafka write the name of the city you're in, not even the neighboring city. And when you're in Hili, write the get that it's in Hini, even though the get's going to actually take place and actually be given in Shili. Amar Rav Yudom Shmuel Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir, that this idea that a get becomes pasul because of Shalom Malchus is only Rabbi Meir's shita. Aval chacham omrim afilu lo kasav elashim santer shabir arizim gureshes. Even if all you write is in the name of the santer, who's a very low government official, Rashi says it's a zaken amunalios baki benachlas gvul sadek alish veish. He's the guy who knows where the borders of every field is. He's in charge of making sure if you have a complaint that your neighbor built a fence 3 feet into your field, this guy will come and he'll tell you whether that's in fact true or not. That's his whole srara. That's his big deal. So even if you write in his name how many years he's been in the job, still it's going to be a good get according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rameir. Hahu Gita Daviksiv Bilishem Istandura de Bashkar. There was a get that was written and it was dated based on how many years the governor of Bashkar was in control. Shalchar of Nachman of Chisel Kameh de Rabba Kiya Gavnamai. He said, is that a valid get? He said that even Rameir would think is a good get because he's an important enough official. My taima may also Malchusu. He's an official of the government of the Malchus, so it's considered a great honor that even an official who's not the Melech himself is going to be considered chashav enough to date the get based on him, and therefore it's going to be considered something that people are going to respect. Meaning that's going to increase the respect of the king. Why is that different than writing the name of the santar? When you write the name of someone so low, then it's just a bizayin. But over here, it's considered a great shevach that you're showing that the king is so important that even the people underneath him are deserving of having the get written dated based on how long they've been in control. When you take an official who's too low down the totem pole, so then it's just making a mockery of the whole thing. It's making a joke of the entire thing. It's Dafka Rabbi Meir who says that the Vlad is going to be a mamzer in these cases, but the Chachamim say that the Vlad is going to be kosher in this case. So modem Chacham Rameir Shimshina Shmo Shma Shemi Rav Shemi Rav Shavlad Mamzer. Chacham Modet Rameir though that's only when you messed up the Malchus that the Vlad is going to be kosher. Chacham Modet Rameir that if you mess up his name, the city's name, something like that, then the Vlad is in fact going to be a mamzer. says Tosos over here, very important Tosos. Pirush Bekuntrus Da Shalom Malchus Kai. Right, Rashi explained, like I just explained the Gemara, that the whole issue over here is one of Shalom Malchus. That's where we say that Rav Meir holds, when you mess up the Shalom Malchus issue, the Vlad is going to be a Mamzer, but the Chacham would say the Vlad is Kasher. Frek Tosos, the Kasher the Rabbeinu Tam, Din came, Pligad Rav Yudah Mashmul De Le'el, Damar Av Chacham Rav Mafilu Kasher L'Shem Santer Shabir, Harezim Gureshes. But then this is arguing on what we just said 5 lines ago. Because 5 lines ago we said that the Chacham hold that if you write it in the name of the Santer, meaning you mess up the Malchus part, it's Megureshes. That sounds like only Megureshes. It says it's a Mashmah Megureshes v'tinasi l'chachila afal pishalo nichtav l'shem Malchus. Sounds like even l'chachila would work. Imkei heichadu kosvim v'briyas olam. So if that's the case, how are we allowed to write in a get the dating from Briyas Olam, Hakaimlan Karav the Isure, Ludiday, also the Garish Bulukhila. Don't we pass on like Rav? And apparently, over here, Rav is telling us that the Chacham would say the Vlad is kosher, but really the Chachila, you're not supposed to mess around with the Malchus, you're supposed to write the Shem Malchus. If we pass on like Rav, that the Malchus, at least the Chachila, you have to write the Malchus, how do we get away with writing the Briyas Ha'olam? So Tosa says, Tosa points out, it was from the Garsi Le'alam Ravidam Rav, Kasha Derava Derav. And not only that, there are those that had the gear so that it was Rav who made both statements. So it would be a stira in Rav. Is it only a din lechatchila that you meaning? Is it even a din lechatchila that you don't have to write the shalom malchus or the thing about the malchus? Or is it only din b'di'evet that if you didn't, the child's going to be kosher that you're not going to have to worry about a mamzeris issue? Now Tosfos later on, a few lines later, says umasha anu kosin lebrias olam, that which we write lebrias olam is mishum dahash shalaka shalom malchus pekach. Nowadays, it's no longer an issue of shalom malchus at all. Shafilu of the chavmein among lishnos melachim. Even Gaim in their shtaros don't count the years of the king. Avol b'yimei chachamim are you regilin limnos lishnos melachim. But in the days of the chachamim, the chachmei Mishnah and the chachmei Gemara, they used to write the years of the king. Kedamrin beget pashut min hagish alumazum malach shana monul l'shtayim pirushayu kolsim kem shtarosei mekavod hamelach. That's what they would always do to honor the king. Lomar melach harbe, to show how long he was melach. But nowadays, no one does that anymore. So we don't have an issue of shalom malchus anymore, and that's why we're allowed to write the Briyas Ha'olam. The Hagos Maimonia says, but why do we choose Briyas Ha'olam? Why don't we count to something else? So he says we choose Briyas Ha'olam because that's something that everyone knows. It's something that's a known year. It's something that's universal. So every sofer will know what year it is when they write the get. That's why we choose Briyas Ha'olam. I saw Shara Mitzion Ba'alach had an interesting ha'ara. He said that the reason we choose Briyas Ha'olam is very similar to why we make the brach of Yotzer Ha'adam and Asher Yotzaris Ha'adam under a chuppah. He says we try to show at a chuppah that the whole tachlis of the bria is to have pruravu, is to bring children into the world. The shevis yisara, so that people can get married and have children. So bedafka at the time of the chuppah, we mention yotzer adam. We talk about the bria sa'olam. We talk about the bria of mankind. So the same is true when it comes to a divorce, where there's not going to be pruravu, where there's not going to be the shevis yisara anymore. We also want to mention bria sa'olam to highlight the idea that it's ki'ilu we're machriv the world right now, because we're taking away the very purpose of the creation. Then Tosfos goes on to say, Rabbeinu Tam Efraish Shalav Ashlom Malchus, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Dol Pshar in the Gemara, that this whole thing, when we say Zu Divrei Meir, is not going on Shalom Malchus, Ela Ahayu B'Mizrach V'Kasa B'Mariv. It's going on the issue of if writing in the east when he's really in the west. But if you write it to l'shem a different malchus, even l'chadchilu the rabbanon would say it's okay. V'lo polgad Rabbi Yehuda d'l'el. It's not in disagreement with what we said 5 lines ago that Rabbi Yehuda said at the top of the Amud. Umagreshes haimin shit diskarish b'l'chadchilu ka'amar. Magreshes means you could even do l'chadchilu feeling that l'shem santer d'zilu b'milsa. Even if you write in the name of a santer, that's perfectly fine. The Kolshkein Hashta, and certainly nowadays, Shemutta Lichtel Libriya Solom, the Lozi Libu Milsa Klal. So even then, if you were to write Libriya Solom, it would have been fine, because we pass like the Chachamim against Reb Meir. But certainly nowadays, it would be no problem at all. The Lonis Kanabazah, no one gets jealous of this, for Kaimelon Chachamim, and anyway, we pass like the Chachamim. the Afagav to Sasam Lantana Krab Meir. The Stam Mishnah went like Reb Meir, so shouldn't that indicate that we pass like Reb Meir? Nah, from the fact that we keep on saying that this is Reb Meir Letamei, that this is only Shitas Reb Meir, Zudivir Reb Meir, that implies that we're not really paskening this way, that we're not really paskening like Reb Meir in this case. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Ashi, Afna Nami Tanina, Shina Shmo Shmo Shemi Ra V'Shemi Ra, Teitzi Mizeh V'Mizeh V'Kol Drach Me'eluba, the Mishnah had said that if you change the names or the names of the cities around, that's where you have to get divorced. Haman Katanila, who's speaking in that line of the Mishnah? Ilem Reb Meir, if it's still Reb Meir speaking, L'Ravinu V'Lisninu, why doesn't the Mishnah just list off all the cases and then list what all the chumras are? Why does it say the first case of the Malchus, tell you the chumras, and then add additional cases? If it were really all Reb Meir, so let it list all the cases where the halacha is going to apply, and then tell me the halacha. El Shema Mina Rabbanan. So what you see is that the first clause in the Mishnah was Reb Meir. Then we said what Reb Meir holds in that halacha. Rabbanan don't agree with that halacha. And then afterwards, it's the Rabbanan speaking, and the Rabbanan saying, but we're moda in these cases, where you change the city around, with the Yibum case, all those cases, we're moda that you have all these chumras. Kala Raya Sha'amru, right, so the Mishnah had said that if Shimon's daughter marries Reuven, and Reuven marries a couple of other women as well, and then Reuven dies, and it turns out that the other women get remarried, and it turns out Shimon's daughter was an islandess, so you have all these chumras. So Nisu in, that implies only if the other wives had gotten remarried. But Zinu lo, had they only had Znus, we would not say all these chumras. Then they would be allowed to go and do Yibum with Shimon. Isn't this a Tiyuft on Rav Hamnuna? Because Rav Hamnuna says that if a woman was a Shomeres Yavim, she was supposed to do Yibum, and she was Mizana, she's not allowed to go back to do Yibum with her deceased husband's brother. So the Gemara says, lo, Nisu v'hu adin lezinu. No, don't be medayik that just because the Mishnah gives a case that she got remarried, that the same would not be true had she been Mizana. The same would be true that had she been Mizana. V'adiktani nisu l'shtamal yunaka. The only reason we say nisu is to use a lighter expression, to not have to speak about znus. We want to speak about something that's not as grotesque as znus. V'ikada amri nisu v'hu adin lezinu. Others have the conversation exactly reversed, that we're originally medayik that nisu is loved out. That who had, if she would have had znus, the same would be true with all these chumras. And we thought lema masayele Rav Hamnuna, that would be a great riot to Rav Hamnuna. Dam Rav Hamnuna shomeres yavam shazinsa asur liyavam, because Rav Hamnuna says that a shomeres yavam that's mizana is asur to a yavam. So don't you see that this is a great riot? Because even if she's mizana, we say that you have all these chumras. So lo nisu dafka. No, maybe really the Mishnah was only saying dafka if she had gotten remarried. But had she been mizana, then maybe in a chinami we would not have all these chumras. But we would confuse this for a woman whose husband had gone the Medina Siam. That's why we're extra machmir by Nisu. Rashi explains, what does that mean? That what's going to happen? A husband's going to go to the Medina Siam, and they're going to come and tell her, your husband has died, and she's going to get remarried, and we're not going to allow her to go back to that husband, even though it was totally not her fault, we're still not going to let her get remarried to him, because we're afraid. Why wouldn't we let her go back to her original husband? If she got married, beheter, it wasn't her fault, she thought her husband was dead. It's because people are going to think that the first husband had divorced her, and she had then got married to the second guy, and then that guy divorced her, and she went back to her first husband. And then some Maxu Grushasu Mishanises. People are going to think that he was Maxu Grushasu after she had gotten remarried. So Achinami Amrinun Hacha. So we say the same problem over here. Shema Yomru Chalat Zev and Nasa Zev. We're going to be afraid that people are going to say that the first guy did Chalitza, and then the second guy married her. Right, and they're going to say the same problems. But that's only going to be a problem that people are going to talk like that if she had gotten remarried to somebody. But she's mizana with someone, you don't exactly go advertising that in the newspapers. So you don't have to worry that people are going to start talking that, oh, she had chalitza from this one, and then she had znus with the other one, now she went back to the other. You don't have to worry that anyone's going to say that. No one's going to know that she had znus with someone else. No one's going to think that she had a chalitza. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Akonis says Yevemto. So he said the same similar case when the guy marries his, he does Yibum. And then it turns out that the woman he did Yibum on was an islandess. So all those other women who were married to his brother and have since gotten remarried to other husbands are going to have all those chumras. Utsricha. Why do I need both cases? Both the case where the brother was related to one of the women and therefore they never even tried Yibum, and the case where the brother did Yibum and it turned out that she was an islandess. The Yashmi Mahak Kamais I had, I only had the first case where it was Shimon's daughter that turned out to be an islandess, Yishum Talokai Mitzvah Yibum, I would say, because they never even attempted to do a Mitzvah Yibum. That's why we're so Machmer. Aval Hachavi Kai Mitzvah Yibum Emelo. But over here, the other women had very good reason to think that they should be able to get remarried. After all, Yibum was already done. They thought they were home free. So why would they think they have to wait to see if the girl's an islandess? And had it only told me this case, I would say, I would have said that in this case we're very machmir, because at least they thought that they were shomeres yafam to Shimon at one point, meaning none of them are related to Shimon. So all five of them, let's say Reuven is married to five women, all five of them were eligible for Yibum at one point. So I would say they should wait it out and make sure that Yibum was actually done, because each of them should feel a certain sense of personal responsibility. Aval Hasam de Loramya Kamei Emelo. But over there, in that case, where Shimon's daughter was one of the group, they never even thought that they were subject to Yibum. So they never even thought to look any further. So Tzricha, that's why I need to be taught in both cases that were extra machmir. Etc. The Mishnah had said that if you give the sofer gave the wrong document to the wrong person, Rav Lezer had some sort of chiluk as to whether it was immediate that it came out or it came la'achar zman. That if it immediately came out, so then we have all the chumas. But if it came out immediately, so what did Rav Lezer say? If it came out immediately, so then it's not a good get. We assume the get was totally invalid. If it came la'achar zman, so then we don't assume that the first guy has the right to say my get was invalid and therefore you, the second guy, can't stay married to this woman anymore. What's the definition of the altar and the achazman? Two answers in the Gemara. Number one, Rabbi Domar Shmuel, Kozman Sheyoshvin Vaasukin Bosuin Yinzel Altar. As long as they're sitting there still discussing the issue of the get, that's called the altar. Amdu Zel Liachazman. Once they get up, so that's considered to be Liachar Zman. Ravad Bar Ava Amar, Lo Niseis Zel Lialter. As long as she has not yet gotten remarried, that's considered Lialter. Niseis Zel Liachar Zman. Once she's gotten remarried, then it's considered to be Liachar Zman already. Tosos on Pei Alf and Alf at the top says the Lashon the Mishnah Lo Kali Menu Labid Zuchuso Shalsheni. Tosos says, what do you mean? According to Ravad Bar Ava, that we're talking about that she's gotten remarried, what's the concern that they pulled some sort of trick in order that with the first husband, in order that the first husband should be able to take her back? If she's gotten remarried to someone else, anyway, he's not going to be able to take her back. There's going to be the din of Tetzim Mizeh Mizeh. So he says it has to be that the husband was unaware of that. He doesn't realize that he's not going to be allowed to take her back, and that's why they're going to do some sort of trick. But anyway, that's only a problem if you say, like Ravad Bar Ava, that the definition of Lialter is prior to her getting remarried, and the definition of Liachar Zman is that she's already been remarried. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah local, the first guy can't ruin the second guy's marriage. Bishlam, meaning if it comes out Lachar Zman, Bishlam Ravad Barava Hainu Diktani Sheni. So according to Ravad Barava, that the definition of Lachar Zman is she's gotten remarried. So I understand what we're talking about. He's trying to ruin a marriage because she's already gotten remarried. El Lishmuel my Sheni, but according to Shmuel, what second guy is there? She hasn't gotten remarried. Lachar Zman just meant that they finished this Sidur Gittin. They got up and they finished the get. She hasn't gotten remarried yet. So what are you talking about being ma'abid zchus of a second guy? There is no second guy. So answer is Gemara zchus haru'u yilasheni. No, it means the zchus that someone could have to remarry her. Rashi says zchus haru'uya mishiyatzasa milfnei edim becheskas megureshes zachsali nasi lasheni. She went out of this Beis Din or this gathering knowing that she's muteris to get remarried, that she's muteris to marry whoever she wants now. That is what he can't take away from her at this point. He's not going to be allowed to take away that zuchus to be able to that anyone has to be able to marry her by saying that the get was never really given and that he really only gave her the shovar and that he's still holding on to the get. Because now it's too late to cause such problems. Okay, wish everyone a chesiva and chesima tova, and I guess we will pick up Mirz Hashem on some Gedalia on Daf Pei Gimel. We'll see what we get up to.